This morning, we'd like to turn with us to a portion of reading. I'll be honest with you this morning. I'm not excited about preaching this message. Sometimes you get behind a pulpit and you're just overjoyed to get to preach a message. Well, I'm not this morning. It's a message that you're not going to leave here today and you're going to be skipping in the parking lots and saying, well, God's just great. It's not a message that you're probably going to go home this afternoon and say, well, the preacher just tickled my ears and just made me all happy, warm, and fuzzy inside. It's not a message like that. The message that the Lord has given us this morning is a very serious, sincere message that I believe the whole world needs to hear. It's not something that I enjoy preaching about, but it's something that I want to be like Paul when it comes down to the end of my life and the end of my time preaching, that he says, I have not failed to preach the whole counsel of God. Now, if I fail to preach the whole counsel of God, that blood is upon my hands. You know, I'm commissioned as an ordained preacher, a preacher of the gospel, regardless, to preach everything that God has in His holy book. And I have to do that this morning. I pray that you'll take it in a way that God will be pleased with. I drove to West Virginia, and that was about an 8-hour drive. And I knew that I was going to preach this earlier in the week, and I have fought with it all the way there, and I fought with it all the way back. So I'm ready to let this one go this morning. I pray that you all will receive it in a way that it will be a blessing to you in whatever way that it can be. But if you'll go back over times past here at Mount Calvary to something that I've said many, many times, I've said that we as God's people need to get a glimpse of hell. And we do. God's people need to see hell for what it is. You say that word nowadays and people don't even realize what you're talking about. You say the word hell and people think that you're cursing. It's taken and it's used in a way that isn't even what the word means anymore. I want you to realize this morning that this place that I'm going to talk about is a place that is of complete destruction for people that do not get saved before they leave this world. It's not a place you want to go to. But God's people need to see hell this morning so that we might be urgent in our battle to get lost people saved so that they might realize that the alternative to this place called hell is a place called heaven. I'm glad that there is a place called heaven. I'm glad that the Lord has provided that. I want you to understand a few things this morning. If you'll turn with us to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. And we're going to have quite a lengthy reading lesson this morning. Quite more than I usually read. But we have to read it to get the full effect of it. But I want you to realize as missionary Baptists, we believe in a few things this morning. We believe in a literal heaven. A place that is prepared for those that have been saved by grace. I believe that there is a place that we go to at the end of life, those that have been redeemed by God's grace. I believe in a heaven. Then I believe that it is prepared by God Himself. I believe it's a place of perfection, a place of rest, a place of peace, a place of joy. I believe it. And we believe it as missionary Baptists. On the flip side, every coin has two sides. And on the other side of the coin this morning is a place the world doesn't want to talk about. In this day and time, we hear it in everyday speech and people will tell each other to go to this place. I hate to hear someone say that to someone else because they don't realize just exactly what they're saying when they tell someone to go there. I don't want anybody to go to hell. Don't want my worst enemy to go there. But I'm afraid this morning that there are people that are slipping off there while we're here. How sad that that is this morning. We've got to realize, as we go into this revival effort meeting this next week, what we're battling. We're battling Satan, first of all. The Bible says that it is a place that is prepared for the devil and his angels. It wasn't even prepared for people. It wasn't prepared for anybody but Satan himself and those that followed him out of heaven. That's exactly who hell was prepared for. But I want you to read with us this morning, and before I read this, and we're going to read a few scriptures, I want you to realize that the Hebrew and the Greek have different meanings for different words from time to time. Hell can be translated from the Hebrew Sheol or Sheol. And there's also Gehenna. There's also Hades. I've read a few commentaries this week over what these verses of Scripture was referring to. A lot of people say that it was a Sheol or the grave. But I'm inclined to believe this morning that it was talking about the place of the underworld, the place of darkness. I believe that's what these verses of Scripture are talking about. You say, preacher, the commentaries say different, but this is what the Bible says. So I take what the Bible says and what God has given us this morning over any commentary or any other person. And I believe that's what these verses of Scripture are referring to. And I want you, as we read these verses of Scripture, I want you to imagine this in your mind. It's beautiful Scripture. It's a poem almost. The first part is, and it's written by Isaiah, and it's talking about the Lord. The well-beloved, I want you to understand, is the Lord and God Himself. It says, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching or referring to His vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. In mine eyes, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an homer shall yield an ephah. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp, and the viol, the tabret, and pipe, and wine are in the feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean men shall be brought down, and the mighty men shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of the hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat." And I thought that we might read through the 25th verse, but I believe that's what we'll read for the time being. If we could take for a lesson text this morning, it would be that 14th verse, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure." As I told you, some scholars say that this is referring to Sheol or the grave. Now you will understand this morning that the Old Testament is a lot of Hebrew. If we read over in Jonah, he said that when he was in the belly of the whale that he had gone to hell. And he had not gone to a literal burning hell, but he was in a hell below the world. He was in a hell that was talking about a Sheol. If Jonah really thought that where he was the grave, and to be honest with you this morning, if any of us were swallowed by a great fish, we probably would be in our grave. But Jonah had another plan and a place that he had to go. So God just transported him to Nineveh by this great whale. So he did not in fact go to hell. That in fact is a occurrence of the Greek or the Hebrew word Sheol. But I want to talk to you about this morning about a place that's called hell. If I could title this this morning, it would be "Get Just One Glimpse." You see, as we read these verses of Scripture, I believe that they're talking about spiritual Israel. I believe they're talking about God's people. You see, what had happened here was Isaiah was a prophet of God, and God had let Isaiah know that Israel was going to be destroyed. That Israel was going to be taken captive once again. Israel always had these problems where they became captive. So we have this beautiful illustration of a vineyard. And if you read over in the New Testament, a lot of times God's vineyard was always talking about His church. He tells us in the New Testament, He says that we should sow or labor in the harvest. He says that His fields are white for harvest, or that they may be taken up. But here we're talking about this vineyard. And what we have here is this vineyard that the Lord has planted. He has taken this vineyard and He's taken His time with it, and He's fenced it out. He's dug all the rocks out so that it would be able to grow in a way that these grapes would grow up and it would be a plentiful harvest for Him. So we have these grapes that are growing. It says that He has built a tower in the midst of it and made a wine press therein. And that He looked forth that it would bring forth grapes or good fruit. But you see, what had happened was, is that it had brought forth wild grapes. Therefore, Israel had turned themselves away from God, and they had disobeyed God so much that they weren't bringing forth the kind of fruit that they needed to. And so we get down to what He says in the fifth verse. He says, I will take away the hedge, or I will take away the fence. Thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. Therefore, there's going to be no pruning nor digging. Briars and thorns are going to enter it. And I will command clouds that they rain no rain upon it. Now, I want you to understand something this morning about hell. I told you that it was a place that is prepared for the devil and his angels. And I believe this morning that if you have been saved by grace, that you cannot lose your salvation. Once God saves you, you are saved for all of eternity. What God does today, what God does, what He promises, it's a sure promise that will never be broken from you. But I do believe this. I believe we need to see hell. And you say, preacher, I don't want to see this place. I don't want to understand anything about hell. But I want you to realize this morning, there's a world full of people that are dying and going to hell. All around us, there are people that are being deceived, they're being lied to. We live in a nation today that is turned away from God and no longer stands upon the sure mercies and the sure promises of God anymore. So people are being led astray by the millions. You see, when God's people turn back to God and they begin to serve God and they begin to honor God and glorify God, people will begin to be saved. I'm convinced this morning that if God's people could just get a glimpse of that awful place that is prepared for those around us that are lost and undone, we would have a sense of urgency this morning. I heard a preacher one time, Brother Danny Holland, the pastor of Eastside Missionary Baptist Church in Franklin, Kentucky. He said that he had a dream one night. And that he said that when he was in, as this dream progressed, that he could see these people by the millions just going down farther and farther into a place called hell. He could just see that there was nothing that he could do, that he'd stood back and he'd watched all of this take place. He'd stood back and he had watched as he had let the gospel go by, let things of the world, they go by, and these people were dying and they were going to hell. And he realized there was not one thing he could do about it. It was too late. I'm convinced this morning that we still have hope. I want you to realize this morning, even though this is a message about an awful place, there's good news. There's good news that nobody ever has to go there ever again. But I do believe there are people there today.
I believe that there have been people going there since God opened up this pit. You see, the Scripture says here in the 14th chapter, the 5th book of 5th chapter of Isaiah, the 14th verse, it says, "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure." You see, I'm convinced, and most of you all have been around Baptist churches long enough, that you've heard people preach about hell. We understand a few things about this place. You read over in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, and it says that it is a lake of fire. The Bible also says that it is a place of complete and utter darkness. It is a place where there is no light. And you say, "Preacher, if there's fire, surely there will be light." But the Bible says that it will burn and it will burn and it will burn and there will be no light. It's utter, complete darkness. The Bible says that men love darkness rather than light. So therefore, people for all of eternity will get to experience the very thing that they love. Complete darkness without any hope of light. No light there. A place of torment. You say, "Preacher, how do you know?" The Bible teaches me about a rich man, a beggar, over in Luke chapter 16. Most of the time in a revival effort meeting, someone will preach about the rich man and Lazarus. You'll hear about him. They'll say the rich man died and he went to a place called hell. And they'll talk about how Lazarus went to the bosom of Abraham and was comforted by being there. Lazarus being the beggar, the rich man having no name, going to complete and utter darkness. And if you reaccount what the rich man said, he said, "Lord, have mercy upon me, for I am in torments." Notice in the English language, there's an S on the end, meaning that it is plural. It doesn't mean that he has one torment. It means that he has many or multiple torments that bother him forever. This is an everlasting place. I believe that eternity is an everlasting to everlasting. There is no end. There's no end in sight for anything. You see, on one hand, we have an eternity in heaven and an eternity in hell. I believe the Bible speaks of a great gulf that is fixed between heaven and hell. I believe that it lets us know, and if you read about this rich man and Lazarus, you would know that he was able to look over and see that Lazarus had been comforted, that he was able to be in a place of peace and rest, even though Lazarus never had anything in this life. He was a beggar. It says that he was laid at the rich man's gate with sores upon him. So he was laid there, just completely poor, just calling out. It says he desired the crumbs of the rich man's table, but he never got them. But it says they died. You see, the rich man, being completely and utterly happy in this world, died and goes to a place of complete unhappiness. And you say, "Preacher, are you telling me that rich people can't go to heaven?" I don't believe that. You see, I believe this morning there's only one group of people that are going to hell. I don't believe that it's because of your skin color or your religion or anything like that. I don't believe it's because of how you act or what you've done. You see, works won't send you there. It won't. Hell is not a place that's prepared because you didn't open a door for a little old lady at the shopping mall. Nobody's ever gone there because of that. The Bible says that the only sin that keeps you out of heaven is the sin of unbelief. You see, I believe in heaven there's a place of all kinds of people. But you want to know the same thing that happened for those people that got saved? They all came the same way. You see, there's not multiple ways to heaven. There's one way to heaven and one way to hell. It's simple, really, when we think about it. The way to heaven is repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the same thing will get you to hell. Unbelief will send you there. You see, the rich man never believed on the Lord. But Lazarus believed in Jesus Christ, and therefore he was saved. You see, I believe this morning that it is a punishment for unbelief. There are people out there today that will tell you that hell is created and it's made so that there are degrees of hell. I'm going to tell you this morning, I believe it's going to be as hot on one person as it's going to be on the next person. I don't believe in a degree of how hot that it's going to be. The Bible tells me it's a lake of fire. When I was growing up, my family spent a lot of time on the lake on different occasions, and I remember going to Barren River Lake when I was lost, and I would be scared to death. Because I think, what if this just turned into hell and just consumed me? You see, it scared me. I always thought of the lake as being a lake of fire. You see, people today, I've heard all of my life, people say, well, I don't really care if I go to hell, because once I get there, I'm just going to have a big party, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. Trust me. I've never been there, but I do believe this. I believe that that place is a place where there'll never be anything else but calling on the name of God to save your soul. You see, Lazarus, the rich man, did that. He said, Lord, have mercy on me. And guess what he got? Not any mercy. You see, he had all of the time that he needed to have mercy on this side of eternity. And I'm convinced that he never got it. I'm also convinced this morning that it's a place that is complete and utter unhappiness. You see, the Bible tells me, and it speaks often, you see, God, Jesus Christ Himself, often referred to hell more than He did heaven. And you say, preacher, why do you say that? You see, I believe that He was wanting to warn those around Him to not go there. Instead, He wanted them to know that they would rather have the opportunity to go to heaven to be with Him. But He spoke of this place so that it would be a warning to them. And I pray this morning that it's a warning to all of us, that it's a warning to us that are saved, that those around us, they are dying every moment. They are slipping off into a devil's hell. So there needs to be some kind of urgency about us so that our friends, our family, our neighbors, our loved ones, that they get saved before it's everlasting too late. You see, hell will be everlasting too late. It'll be a place where you'll never get out. If you read over in Matthew, read about what it says. Many times it says, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I have thought many times about what it would mean to weep and gnash your teeth. Now, I have never gnashed my teeth, I don't guess, but I imagine that it's a complete grinding of your teeth together so that you are trying to do anything to not feel the flames of hell. You see, over in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See, I believe hell is a place that if we were all to just open up the center of this altar area today and look down in there, and I wish today that we could open it up and just look down in there, and you say, preacher, that would be awful. I'm going to tell you this morning, if we could just get a glimpse of what's going on in hell today, there wouldn't be a lost person here. There wouldn't be a lost person anywhere in this nation. There wouldn't be a lost person in this world. Our world would change for the better. And you say, preacher, how can we look into this place called hell and change the way people think? We've got a world full of people who do not believe in the name of God. I'm going to say this morning, if everybody believed the name of God, we wouldn't have the problems that we have. None of us would ever have to lock our doors again. If every person was saved by grace, we wouldn't have a problem in this world if everybody knew the Lord. But you see, the sad fact is we have a whole lot of people that are turning their backs on God today. And if we could open up this place called hell, and I could just put a piece of plexiglass over it and say, you just look down in there and you just see this place. You just see where you're going. If you don't believe in God, you just see what's going to happen to you. Well, guess what? People would be believing on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ faster than I can snap my fingers. I'm convinced that people will take heaven all day long. I love to preach about heaven. I do. Because I know that someday, in the sweet forever, that's where I'm going to be. I'm going to a land of milk and honey, a place that is prepared for those that love God. I know that I'm going there. I'll never go to a place called hell. Not one hair on my head will ever enter into that place. You see, my body someday will go to the grave or Sheol or hell, as they call it in the Hebrew language. But my body, this body here and your body there, will never go to a place called hell. And you say, preacher, didn't you just say those that didn't believe in God, they go to hell? You see, there's another level of torment to this. I was talking to a man one time, and I asked him about what he believed about heaven and hell, and we had a good discussion about it. We believed along the same lines as what he believed about heaven. When he got to hell, he didn't believe like I did. He thought when you went there, your body was just consumed quickly, and you didn't feel it forever. You see, I believe that those that have been saved, you know, Paul told the church at Thessalonica, he says, when the Lord returns, we shall be changed in the moment in a twinkling of an eye. And I believe that means this whole body that I have shall be changed to be a glorified body for God. I believe it's going to be a body that will be able to take all of the glory of heaven. See, every coin has two sides, I told you. See, the same change that I'm going to take, those that have been lost and those that have not been saved shall be changed as well. You see, their bodies will be changed to something that will never, ever be destroyed. You see, hell is not a place that you go to for a couple of hours and say, well, I guess I've done my time. You see, people go to prison here, they pay the time for the crime that they have committed and they get out. But you see, hell is not a place that you're going to get out of. You see, as long as I'm in heaven, and the Bible says that it is an eternal rest for those that have been saved, on the same side of that is that those that die and they go to hell, they are there for all eternity. And they are never consumed. You think about that burning bush that Moses saw over in Exodus. It didn't burn up. You see, your body that you have when you go to hell, it never burns up. It is there in its form and it will last for all eternity. I hate cooking. I do. I'm scared of the oven. That oven I've got in that apartment I have, it's about 300 years old. Scares me to death. Because I'm always afraid I'm going to burn myself. I don't like to burn myself. I was cooking something not too long ago and I stuck my hand in the oven and I caught it just barely on the lip of that oven. And it hurt. You say, preacher, you're using an oven to describe hell. I'm going to tell you, as much as that hurt the bottom side of my hand, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like for that to be all over your body for all eternity. It's never going to end. You know what I did? I went and got a little bit of water and I run it over, and it felt pretty good for a little bit. And you know what, in a few days, that old welt that was there, it was gone. But you see, that is not what hell is going to be like. It's going to be a place that you are never going to get out of. You say, preacher, you're preaching awful mean this morning. I want you to understand something. I want everybody here to understand something. God is love. I believe that. You see, I told you there's good news. There is good news this morning. There's a way to escape. Peter said, or 2 Peter, I believe, says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? How will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You see, if I told you this morning at the front of this church or the back of this church, however you want to describe it, if you go out the front doors of this church, there's a fire out there. I don't believe any of you are crazy enough to get out and go run into it. You see, I'm going to tell you there's another way to escape. You see, if I tell you there's a fire out there, everybody would do everything that they could not to go there. If I told you out this door is an exit that you can escape quickly and easily and not have any pain or no harm, I believe you'd probably fight yourselves to get out of that door instead of having to go through that one. Not one of you would go out those doors. You'd all go this way. You see, the world today is disregarding everything about what the Bible says, what the church says, and what anybody says about the place that they are going. They're looking at it like it's false, like it's just a story. But I want you to know this morning, there is danger ahead. Safe people, I want you to realize, your neighbors, your friends, your loved ones, there's danger ahead for them. Do we realize this morning what a precipice that we're on? We're not standing on something that is easy or lovely. It's not a beach vacation that you're going to want to go to. It's not a place that it's going to be just wonderful. It's a place of pain and suffering and destruction. But you see, there's another way. There's another way out of this. There's a way that it doesn't have to be for them. You see, and the only way that that is through Jesus Christ, the door. The Bible says, I am the door. I am the light. I am the truth. And any man that comes to me must know and believe that I am. They've got to put their faith and their trust in Jesus Christ. But as I told you this morning, there's people that don't believe the name of God. They don't even believe in His love or His mercy, His graciousness, His almighty wonderfulness. They don't believe in Him. And I'm going to say this morning, they're headed for destruction. As we read these verses of Scriptures in Isaiah, and I'm going to close here in just a few moments of time. So Brother Colin, if you'll get us a song together. I used to hear people say that sometime hell would fill up. See, the verse of Scripture that I based my thought on this morning, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. See, I believe daily that hell enlarges itself because there are people that are going off in there. The Bible tells me that Jesus tells those that die in their sins at the end of the world, He says, depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. He says, any that does not bring forth good fruit, those wild grapes weren't good fruit. What does the Bible say? Over in the New Testament, over in the Gospel of Matthew, it says that those that do not bring forth good fruit are hewn down and cast into the fire. Cast into the fire. If we were to go fishing and I were to cast my rod and reel out, it'd be a fling, it would be a tossing, it would be a throwing you out. Guess what? Those that die in their sins, they're cast off. They're not gently placed. They're not let down. They're cast into this lake of fire. Complete and utter darkness. Now, I've not ever been one that's scared of the dark. It doesn't scare me. It doesn't bother me. You turn off all the lights in here, I'm probably going to be okay. But I'm not talking about a darkness that there's going to be a light bulb that flicks on and there's going to be some kind of light radiate through it. I'm talking about complete darkness where you cannot see. I'm talking about a hell and a flame that is not quenched. You know what Lazarus, or the rich man, wanted? And I don't know why I keep calling him Lazarus this morning. Lazarus is enjoying the finer things of heaven. But this rich man, you know what he wanted? Just one touch. Just one drop of water on his tongue that it might cool him. I'm going to say this morning that one drop of water wouldn't have helped him not one bit. It wouldn't have satisfied him at all. It wouldn't have satisfied him not one bit. One drop of water would have done him no good. But I want you to realize this morning there's good news in my Savior Jesus Christ. There's a way out of this. There's a way that you can be saved from this. You know, the Bible teaches me that we are saved from something for something. You say, preacher, what does that mean? I want you to realize when I was lost, and when I mean lost, I mean separated from God. I mean is not saved, does not have peace, does not have assurance. I mean you are separated from God and lost. You're not His. When I was lost, you know what I would hear these preachers preach? I'd hear them preach about hell. Scared me to death. I didn't want to go there. You say, preacher, why are you preaching that this morning? Because I want people to realize that there is this place. I don't want anybody to stand before God and say, you know, the preacher never told me about this. I listen to a lot of sermons from a lot of different places. And guess what? Hell is not a common subject from behind the pulpit anymore. People don't want to talk about it. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to think about it. I want you to realize, you better think about it. You better understand that it's where you're going. You know, I can sit up here and preach that God is love all day long, and He is love. He loves you more than you'll ever know. But at the end of time, when people are burning in the devil's hell, they're going to think. They're going to remember the preachers that stood before them and told them about this place that they're going to. And all they're going to hear is, God was love, God was love, and nobody ever warned them. I'm warning you to flee from the wrath that is coming. But when I was lost, I didn't care a thing in the world about heaven. I'm just going to be honest with you. I didn't care about it. I'd heard about it. I wanted to go. I loved to go on vacation. I used to think, man, I can't wait to go. Loved it. I'd heard about heaven and I wanted to go there, I'm sure. But you know where I really wanted to escape? That was hell. I didn't want to go there. And I knew just exactly where I was headed. I knew that I was going there. The Bible says this, and I'm going to close. It says, the flame is not quenched, and the worm dieth not. I don't believe that talking about a worm as in a worm that we have when we go fishing or putting on our bait or our tackle. I don't believe that. I believe it's talking about the worm as in you and I. The Bible calls us and it tells us that we are nothing. Therefore, we are the worm and we die not. You'll be there and you'll never be consumed. I want you this morning, the church, those that may be here and not saved, I want you to get just a glimpse this morning of hell. I want you to realize that this is the place that those that are not redeemed by the grace of God, that they go when this life is over. It's not a pretty place. I've not enjoyed preaching it this morning. Sometimes you get to preach things and you get excited about preaching. I love to preach about heaven. But you have to realize there is a place called hell. And I want every one of us to escape it. Please, this morning, don't reject the Lord. If He's knocking at your heart, come seek the Lord while He may be found. Get just a glimpse this morning. I want you to think about this as we close. As I was driving down the interstate yesterday, and I was, I guess, moving along pretty quickly, I was passing these cars, and I began to think about where will they spend in eternity? There's a song that we sing, eternity is a long, long time. It is. But I thought, where are they going to spend an eternity? These people I'll never see, never meet, never know, or never come in contact with again. But you know, everybody faces eternity. They're going to face an eternity. So I want you to think this morning about your neighbors, your friends, your loved ones. Where are they going to spend eternity? If you don't know where they're going to spend eternity, if you've never asked, if they've never told you, ask them where they're going. And if they've not been saved, invite them to church. Tell them about the Lord. Show them that there is a better way. I want everybody to get out of this. And you know there's a way to escape it. May God bless you is our prayer. While we stand together, while we sing.